Nothing at all. It's just a padded room dance party. My name is Darian. Microphones are on.
Take two.
Multiple mics is in the house. What's up with you, Dudicles?
Oh, my week was trite and pedantic.
All right, talk to me about
I have no idea what those words mean.
Pedantics,
just
please.
Just wanted to use them in conversation.
Very nice.
But you, sir, had quite the week.
I did have quite the week.
You are a daddy.
It's true. I had a baby this week.
We got us a new daddy in the house.
Holy Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. Got a kid. Got a baby. Little baby boy. Deacon Joshua Brock.
Uh-oh.
I say he was named after a vampire. Deacon Frost from the Blade movie. Or Deacon Jones, the Minister of Defense from the 76 Cowboys. Master of the Head Slap. Remember that?
No.
I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I did love Deacon Jones because he was a bad motherfucker.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember?
Football. We're talking football.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys.
We're talking to footballs.
The foosballs.
The foosballs. Yeah, I remember Deacon Jones. He was a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. You remember the interview he did? Now, he did this interview. Adam Carolla plays the shit out of it because it's hilarious. He did this interview in 1979, and what he said... Now, take it in the context in which he's breaking down his infamous head slap. And what he would do is, off the line of scrimmage, he would slap the offensive lineman in the head, and then he'd come around the side and sack the quarterback. And he was explaining the purpose of the head slap. And what he said was, and I'm quoting him now, anytime you go upside a man's head, or woman, they have a tendency to blink their eyes. Now, I'm not one for domestic violence myself.
He has a point.
But it's true.
He does have a point. He raises quite the point there. You're bound to blink your eyes.
And so that would give him like a split second to get off the line.
Get that quarterback sack.
Yeah. He was a bad son of a bitch.
He was.
Pretty good times. So I had the baby. That was, Wednesday morning. Dude, I got a house full of in-laws. Well, really just my mother-in-law. I think I've had about enough of the baby talk and people talking to me for my baby as if my baby has elected them as spokesperson for them. You know what I mean?
Oh, you've seen nothing yet.
I'm sure. I am going insane. I'm telling you right now. The next person that comes up to me holding my baby and says, "Daddy, I think I need my diaper changed." I'm going to fucking slap somebody.
They're going to blink.
I'm going to go upside the head.
You're going for the quarterback sack, basically.
Is it?
Yeah, just hold on to that.
Is this going to go on forever?
Forever.
I am losing my fucking mind. I had to have a serious talk with my mother-in-law. I'm like, Sharon, I am an adult. You are an adult also. Let's have an adult conversation for 5 minutes, please. Oh, but baby needs it.
Oh, you got to let her have fun with it, though.
I know, but Jesus Christ, man.
It's her grandkid there.
Yeah. Anyway, that happened. Thanks, everybody, on Facebook, Twitter, and anywhere else for all the congratulations. It's, actually, he's pretty mellow as far as babies go. I mean, I've heard a lot of horror stories about not getting any sleep and... You know, well, screaming
you had him,
and
what,
yelling.
3 days? 4 days now?
4 days. He's 4 days old.
Just give it time.
Oh, excuse me. Is he going to get worse, you suppose?
Oh, yeah.
No, okay.
You're starting off with easy peasies.
Yeah, it's pretty It's pretty mellow.
Wait till they start teething. Ooh.
Oh, that's right. That hurts them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bothers them.
It cuts through their gums. And they don't like it.
About how far along is that?
Ooh.
Like what, 6 months?
I don't remember exactly. Half a year, yeah.
Yeah.
You can start to expect them teething come.
Okay, well.
And see, what I used to do is I used to let them, you know, let Caleb and Logan chew on my fingers.
Yeah?
It helps. It hurts like a motherfucker sometimes.
Really?
It seems like they got the jaws of death at times. But, you know.
If it'll your daddy. Shut them the hell up.
Your daddy.
Go ahead.
It's your duties.
It's my duties.
It's your daddy's duties.
My dad duties.
You got some new duties.
All kinds of duties. I hate these duties. All right. Enough about me and my horse shit.
Get used to them duties.
Yes, duties. Let's do some. Let's take care of business here, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Got some horror news and such. Listener mail, Terror Dome, all the usual. Shenanigans.
Horror news.
Got anything on horror news, Multiple Mics?
I do not.
All right, I got a few things.
Let's hear it.
Guillermo del Toro confirms At the Mountains of Madness.
Ooh.
That's coming after Pacific Rim 2.
Ooh.
Which I think he's just going to be like a executive producer on or something like that.
Okay.
Psyched for that. I'm a big Lovecraft guy. As I recall, you and I saw a live reading of The Mountains of Madness at the HP Con. Kreese was there. She watched it too.
Yes, that was interesting.
It was. I fell asleep in it.
They did the little sound effects. They had one guy like over in the corner doing.
Yeah. As I recall, I fell asleep during it. Not because it was boring or anything, just because it was a fucking weekend in Portland and we were drunk all the time.
Jam-packed weekend is what it was.
And pretty good times, though. I mean, if he's directing it and if it's true to the source material, it is going to be PG-13.
Wait, he's directing? I thought you said he was just EP.
He's the EP on Pacific Rim 2. This isn't happening until after Pacific Rim 2.
Oh, and he's directing this?
So that's good news for all the Lovecraft fans out there.
I've seen one good Lovecraft movie.
Reanimator?
No, I haven't seen that one. Maybe that's why.
You're going to want to get on that. From Beyond?
No, remember that one we did for the show a long time ago? It was and white one?
Call of Cthulhu?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Was a good one.
Yeah. Silent film. Kick
usually,
ass.
Usually they don't do them justice.
Well, which other ones have you seen that you didn't like?
Well, we did the other one for the show.
Which one?
That one where... Fuck. It was like the dude in the house.
Oh, that one.
And there was a bunch of like flashback dream sequences. Fuck.
Dude in the house?
Fuck, what was the name of it? I can't. Just carry on.
I'll just carry on. You work on that. Disney is moving forward with Hocus Pocus 2, Rise of the Elder Witch.
Jesus.
Why? I mean, it's been like 20 years since that one. Who? There was three witches in that one, right? And it was Bette Midler, I want to say Susan Sarandon, and Michelle... am I thinking of... No, I'm thinking of the other one with Jack Nicholson. Yeah. Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is all about. I don't really care.
It's for the kiddies.
Looking at it now, I'm wondering why I even wrote that down.
It's for the kiddies.
For the kiddies. I don't know why I wrote that.
It has no business.
No business being discussed on this fucking podcast, you idiot. So stupid. Have you seen the, if you've been on Facebook, like in the last 48 hours, you've probably seen the Reddit story. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The dead girlfriend that is posting on Facebook?
No.
Dig this. It's pretty, I mean, it's probably fake, but it's still pretty fucking gnarly. There's this dude, lost his girlfriend 2 years ago in a car accident. Kept her, between him and his mom, they kept her Facebook account active just to, you know, post things about the funeral and, you know, little memorials and things like that.
Right.
I think it was back in September, she started sending messages. And they're pretty fucking creepy, dude. They're pretty fun. Because if the first message is just like, hello, hello, hello. And then after that, she kind of is repeating things that he said in previous messages. And then after that, she starts posting pics. And some of them are pretty fucking creepy. Fake, I'm sure. But still, pretty cool. Might want to check that out. It's all over Facebook right now.
I'd like to check that out.
I don't know if you're familiar with Reddit at all, but it got 3,847 upvotes as of 6 p.m. yesterday. An upvote apparently is like a like on Reddit.
You do the Reddit? You can upvote it or you can I used to do Reddit a lot.
Yeah?
It's been a long time.
I don't know. I never did.
You come across some creepy shit, for one. You come across some funnies.
Yeah?
Come across some of the funnies.
That's cool. And check that out. It's, like I said, it's all over Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. So that's good times. Morgan Creek Television is developing a Nightbreed television show.
Hey.
That one I will have to check out. It's supposed to coincide with the release of the Cabal Cut, which I'm also very excited for.
That was the Cabal Cut? That's what we watched up in Portland?
Yes.
It's like 3 hours?
Yes.
I fell asleep during that.
It was hard not to. It's hard not. I mean, I had a good time up there,
yeah.
But here's the thing. You have an H.P. Lovecraft movie convention. You've got about 300-plus people packed into a renovated theater from the 1920s that's probably meant to hold about 100.
Yeah.
Tops. You got no air conditioning on the upper floors. You got one bathroom that smells like Tukey all the time.
Yeah.
And then you got a beer vendor downstairs that's keeping everybody pretty well soused. Not bad, probably. Just could have been in a different venue. And could have... Dude, some of those fucking short films we watched, nothing to do with Lovecraft at all whatsoever. It's not to say they were bad, but it's like, why am I... This is a movie about a killer car. Do you really... What is the inspiration behind this? I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm sure there's all these kind of pros and cons to all these Lovecraft festivals. And
yeah, like. I mean, the good news is that we had a good time with Kreese, one way or the other, getting hammered and drinking jelly donut liquor.
Yeah, Kreese throwing her bra at Dale.
Yeah, that was that too. Lastly, The Exorcism of Molly Hartley is in production. It's a sequel to The Haunting of Molly Hartley. You ever seen that one?
No.
Not that great. Don't know why it's getting a sequel, to be honest with you. Take it or leave it, I suppose. Yeah.
60% of the horror movies?
Yeah, but I don't think that one even made any money. I don't know why they're doing another one. I mean, it's just... It's okay, so you have like this chick in a small town, and she's getting plagued by all these weird occurrences, and then at the end you find out that there's like a satanic cult, and she's some kind of a demon spawn. And the occurrences is stuff that she's making happen. So
is that the first one?
Yeah, and it was like 6 years ago. I don't know why they're doing a sequel to it now. I don't think it made any money. Anyway, that's something to look forward to if you're a Molly Hartley fan. That's all I got on the horror news, duders.
Yeah.
Let's move it along to some listener mail.
Listener mail.
Okay. We got the usual array of stuff here. Voicemails, emails. Holy crap. And we just started doing that. Okay. Let's start it off with some emails. Our old friend Kevin.
Yeah.
The main man in Japan. Subject line, patron feature movie review requests. Now, as part of the patron reward system, if you donate a dollar, you get to pick next week's immersion therapy. If you donate $5, you get to pick next week's feature film. So Kevin donated $10, I think, but we only get $8.41 of it. So wonder where that other $2 goes. Subject line, patron feature movie review requests. Hey, Darian, as you mentioned on the patron page description, here are a few requests for movies to review as the feature film discussion. Blair Witch Project. I'm going to write these down. Event Horizon.
You did that one.
Sinister. The Battery. Probably you talked about at least one or two of these already, so feel free to pick one you haven't discussed yet as a feature film. Terradome, not Horror Dome. Yeah, you got it right this week,
Kevin. Corrections and retractions.
Pinhead versus Predator. Predator may have advanced technology, but underneath he's still a living creature that Pinhead will chain up and show him the pain. Vote goes to Pinhead. Two more for Pinhead. Puppet Master Dolls versus Hewitts. Yeah, I agree with you guys. Puppet Master Dolls for the win. Two more for the Puppet Master Dolls. That was Kevin in Tokyo, Japan.
Aw, yeah.
Up next, junk mail. And more junk mail. Let's skip all this crap and go right to Sean G. I should start reading the junk
mail. Yeah, just read it.
Here comes a pyramid scheme. Subject line, I won't be surprised when my picks lose. Who did Sean have?
Freddy and Nightbreed.
Those are solid picks, man. I could see them going places. I think Freddy went to the finals last year. Nightbreed, I don't think, went very far. Predator is a badass movie. I enjoy a handful of the horror remakes Hollywood has been pumping out, but for the most part find the process to be pointless. There are current talks of a Predator remake, and I have to ask why. I don't recall there being a single character to appear in more than one Predator movie. That's not exactly true. I'll get to that in a minute. So what's the point in a remake rather than another sequel? Hell, they don't even have to be sequels as much as another entry in the Predator mythos. Actually, there was one character that showed up in Predator 1 and Predator 2. It was the young hostage girl. You only get to see her for a second in Predator 2, and she's part of, like, she's being interrogated by one of Gary Busey's crazies. But that's all you get. So, technically, she's in there. I always thought it would be cool to have a handful of predators come down and go after an older, slightly crazy Dutch who is living a hermit-like existence in the middle of a desert. Strategic paranoia, leaving the predators very little to use as camouflage, and himself a fairly clear line of vision all around. Could be fun. Yeah, that'd be kind of fun, right? See, like, an older Arnold Schwarzenegger being hunted by... like that predator's dad or something like that. Right?
Schwartz has to do it again.
Yeah. Come on, do it. As for the Terradome, I'm taking Predator over Pinhead.
Uh-oh.
Look at that. I'm not a huge Pinhead fan, but I can respect the power level he has. That being said, I have to vote Predator in this fight. He's all about the kill. Even if it takes setting off his forearm nuke, he'd find a way to take out Pinhead. Would that really count as a Predator win? I mean,
technically. If you kill both of them, you kill yourself while you're killing Pinhead.
Yeah. It's,
draw.
Yeah, like a stalemate.
Draw. Duh. Do it again.
All right, let's take it from the top. I am a diehard Puppet Master guy, so I'm going with the puppets over the Hewitt family. The Hewitts are a twisted bunch, but I think they'd flip their shit seeing dolls running around hacking at them. Sean. Yep, looks like that one's going about the way we thought it would. Sean, thanks for writing in, dude. If you're a fan of horror comics, you need to take your ass to angrygnomecomics.com, and that's where you'll find everything you need.
Just do it already.
Also, I should pump Kevin's podcast, the Tokyo Social Podcast. A lot of tech talk around those parts. A lot of big words, too. So if you're like me and you got like a fourth grade education, you may need an interpreter, but still a pretty good time. Up next, Irma Gersh, subject line, congratulations. Darian and Daly on your new arrival this week. Couple more weeks, young Deacon will be ready for his first viewing of Blood on the Highway. This motherfucker. This motherfucker. Actually, Deacon's 4 days old, and he's already seen two horror movies. So we got that going for us.
Well, seen is
a I mean, I don't know how much
stretch.
How, he's been present.
He kind of just can see shadows.
Yeah. So, but he heard the screaming and the gunshots and stuff. So that's good.
He gave Daddy some good companies.
The I Hate Your Face podcast family, as well as the Gersh clan, are extremely happy for you two. If ever you need a sitter, Jason is not far away. He's a pretty good role model, as long as he stays away from gasoline and matches. Terradome picks. Predator over Pinhead. Oh, shit, son. We just got tied up.
Oh!
Hewitt family over Puppet Master Dolls.
What the fuck?
That's it for me. Be good. Holler at you later. Hewitts are on the board.
Yeah.
Might be making a comeback.
Sure hope not.
Up next, we got a voicemail. We'll get back to that after the email. Oh, here comes the Crease barrage. Crease, I love you, babe. You know that. Let me just move
Crease selling somewhere. Viagra. Crease selling some
online real estate. Here we go. Crease chapter one. Subject line, the streak continues. So, Barricade. Yeah. Immersion therapy for this week. You get a chance to watch it. Well, consider yourself lucky. Another movie that would be perfectly at home on the Lifetime Movie Network. She's 100% right. I don't think there was even so much as a God damn it in the movie, which was odd because it was made by WWE Pictures.
Huh.
So normally they lay it on pretty thick. Darian, you act and sound nothing like this guy. Thank God for that. Because that dude was a poos-poos. This movie, so annoying and not creepy. You know what good movies need? Not much explanation. You know what bad movies need? No. Explanation, because everything is laid out for you like a road of suck with no surprises. A road of suck. Very nicely said, Chris.
Yeah.
The here's what we saw thing after it was laid out loud. Fuck you, movie. And the, or was it curtain pull? I don't know what she's going for there. I much would have preferred my initial theories of him having killed his wife and daughter and being full on delusional. Grand Piano hit streaming recently. I hear that's great. Alrighty. Good times there, Chris.
Grand Piano is a horror movie there?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, well, we'll get into that in immersion therapy.
Barricade.
It wasn't that good. I'll tell you that right now. Chris coming in again.
Coming in hot!
Oh, she just tweeted us, too. I'll have to check that in a minute. Two quick things. Predator. Oh, shit. Predator has moved ahead of Pinhead.
Oh, son! Oh, shit.
Puppet Master Dolls. Booyah. And if you guys ever listen to Creepy Kitsch's review of the movie Equinox, if you want an audio bite to go with the production company logo, I recommend their shouting. Yeah, those chicks get pretty loud over there. I don't know if we want them to be. I don't know. I'll have to check that episode out. Contributor invitation. Okay, that's something that I don't know about. Let's get into some voice. Well, let me check the. Well, no, we'll do the
Crackhouse Matt.
We'll do the voicemails, then we'll check the tweets. How about that?
No Crackhouse Matt.
Well, I think he might have tweeted us too, but I'm not sure.
His horse there's dying.
It's coming down.
Looking bleak.
Coming down to it. Things could get a little freaky there. I believe this... all right, I don't know who this is. I think it might be Alan, but I'm not sure.
Hey, it's GP.
Oh, it's GP.
I don't know, maybe you have a show this week, maybe you won't, because, you know, God knows you're a little bit distracted.
That's true.
Congratulations on your little game changer there.
Thank you, sir.
And I hope you're adjusting well to your new 4-hour sleep schedule.
Yeah.
All right, bend down to business. Terradome. I am going to pick for teams Puppet Master Puppets.
Puppet Heads.
Over the Hewitt family, because people keep on forgetting that the puppets also have six shooter, flamethrower, and every now and then get the Capitron, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, that's true.
He only says like a couple times, but still, flamethrower and six shooter, that's your power right there.
That's true.
So I take them. And
I bet I know which way he's going here.
Predator over Pinhead. Easy win. I don't, you don't even have to easy think win? About it. It's just, you know that the Predator's going to win. So there.
How you figure?
Immersion therapy. Barricade. That was a great big roller coaster ride of what the fuck?
More like who gives
a little
shit.
Bit sprinkling of The Shining, Evil Dead, The Others.
You are giving
and
this
a little
movie
bit of The Grudge in there, too.
Way too much credit.
My God. And the worst fake coughing I ever heard since my kids tried to get out of school.
It's true.
And, I don't know. All right, I'm not going to get on you too bad. I'm not going to yell.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, I'm going to take it easy on you because you got a little, you know, like I said, the game changer. So, I guess that'll be it. I'll talk to you later. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, GP.
It's always a pleasure.
GP was one of the first guys that I texted when I found out it was a boy.
There you go.
See there? Here comes another one. This must be, if that was GP, this must be Alan.
Padded room.
Sure enough.
First of all, congratulations. And Pterodome picks. I'm going to go with Predator.
God damn.
Puppets. That's all I got. Y'all have a good one.
It's a blowout, dude. It's going to be a blowout.
In it.
Alan, thanks for calling in, my man. Your votes are locked in. There's some more junk mail. And one final voicemail. Not too sure who this is at all. Could be anybody.
What's up, Padded Room? Crack House, Matt
here,
taking it with you guys.
Whoa,
Sunday at Fox Sports going on noon your time there. I completely forgot to send in my picks earlier this week with the holiday. And
it's all good, brother.
I don't know how I faced it, especially since it was my horse's week this week, so I got to get my votes in, so... Hopefully I am still on time.
You are?
You are, but...
Now showing some crack houses at the moment. Anyway, first of all, hope you had all had a happy 4th of July, and you celebrated the independence of your country by blowing up a small part of it. And second, and most importantly, want to wish a very big congratulations to our main man, Darian, and his wife on their new addition to their family. So I'm so happy for you guys. I saw the pictures on Facebook. Beautiful, beautiful baby boy you guys have. So I know you guys are going to love the hell out of him. And
I'm going to love the shit out of him.
He's a daddy.
Darian's a daddy.
Oh, Jesus.
How exciting. Anyway.
go ahead and call CPS right now.
Week for the Terror Dome. Definitely going with my boy Pinhead. Over any and all comers, including the Predator. If fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger can take out the Predator, I think Pinhead can take him out as well.
You would think so.
I don't honestly remember who the team's battle is. I feel like it was Puppet Master Doll versus
Hewitt's.
See, either the Sawyer family or the Hewitt family. Fuck.
It's not a stretch. Just
I don't particularly care for the Puppet Master Dolls for whatever reason, so I'm going to go with the Texas Chainsaws family, whichever one it is this week. That's what my vote's for.
You got it, brother.
So anyway, as always, great show last week, guys. Looking forward to hearing them all. I leave on my vacation next Sunday, so I'm going to have to get with you off-air to find out who the battles are going to be a little early so I can get my votes in.
No problem.
Anyway, y'all take care. Take care of your little boy, Darian, and wish you guys all the best. I'll talk to you soon. Crack House, Matt, out.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Thanks for getting us your votes.
He's a hell of a guy, that Crack House individual.
Although your votes...
didn't see things going quite this way, but all right. I mean, what the fuck?
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Let's take a look at the old tweeter roll here before we sign off listener mail front. Looks like we got 4 new notifications. Crease coming in again. You would record while I was in martial arts workshop. Oh, that's from last week's. That Crease is a bad bitch, man. She can throw down. She can knock somebody out. Does Deacon have any horror news to share? Yes, he got his first bath about 15 minutes ago. It was horrible. You could tell by the look on his face.
Tried to push up his way out of there.
Yeah, he's actually like pretty strong.
You're gonna have your hands full there.
He's gonna be a Spartan. I can tell you that right now.
And then they bathed them in coconut oil afterwards,
which apparently is what you do. It's like baby lotion.
He felt like a king.
Yeah. And he's got his hair all spiky. Crack House Matt coming in. He commented on the picture I posted at Deacon. New addition to the padded room, and I just got done pulling my son's 2 front teeth. Did you do it yourself, Matt? Because that's probably something you want to leave for the professionals, right?
Well, Logan, he tripped in the store and felt face first in the shopping cart.
Yeah?
Lost his 2 teeth at a very young
age. Well, yeah, but you didn't pull them yourself.
No.
That's kind of weird, right?
Well...
I mean, if you want to save money on dentists and such...
Caleb pulled his own recently.
Yeah? Was it loose?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I used to do when I was a kid.
I remember when I did that as a kid, too.
Yeah. I'd just fuck with them with my tongue until they just came out.
I remember I was old enough to think, maybe the tooth fairy's not real.
Yeah.
So I've just pulled this tooth and... I'm not going to tell my mom and dad and just put it under my pillow and see what happens.
Yeah?
I'm laying there in bed like, you're an idiot. Go tell your parents to get some cash out of this thing.
Yeah, no, I got woken up by my dad. He was trying to do the switcheroo on me. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, the Tooth Fairy was in a hurry, so she just left me a couple bucks for you. I'm like, yeah, sure there, guy. Kreese came in again. How does the missus like the idea of inmates calling Deacon your pup? She just kind of, you know, just whatever. Just as long as, you know.
She realizes it's make-believe.
Yeah, I think she just wants to put as much distance between her and this show and everybody associated with it as possible. So I don't think she has a problem with it.
So far, so good.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, for all your congratulations and your well wishes on everything and writing and calling into the show. Dude, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again now. We are probably not the best horror podcast, but we do have the best listeners.
And hands you know down. We love you.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Bar none. Best listeners right here in the pattern.
There's no bar.
There's if there was...
It'd be a gone. Bar,
then
there, somebody would have to come and remove it.
Bar any other listeners anywhere. We got the best right here in the padded room. Fucking inmates kick ass. Enough of this horse crap. Let's get into a movie. You gonna make it there?
It's a daddy. I'm looking at a daddy.
It's a daddy's.
It's the daddy's duties. A whole new set of dentists for the dentists.
And metal.
Mrs. Gordon!
Listen carefully, if you will.
There are rules.
What?
What's the rules?
Interesting person. His name is John.
Has an inoperable frontal lobe tumor.
I'm sick from the disease eating away at me inside.
Sounds like our friend Jigsaw.
I'm sick of people who don't appreciate their blessings.
Looks like our guy likes to book himself front row seats to his own sick little dinks.
Hello, Mark. Paul. Amanda. Zep. Dr. Gordon. I want to play a game.
Most people are so ungrateful to be alive. But not you. Not anymore.
Ah! Ah! Game over.
Well, I guess that'll do it then. That was a pretty long trailer right there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Probably should have pre-screened that one.
Yeah, it's like a 5.5-minute trailer. Jesus Christ. Alrighty. That's longer than the movie we just
made. Feel like I just watched the movie again.
We're talking about Saw from 2004, directed by James Wan, written by Lee Whannell, starring Carrie Elwes, Lee Whannell, and Danny Glover. I don't know how we made it 131 episodes without getting into this one before.
It's fucking juicy.
Dude, it's a juicies.
It's a juicy good one.
Juicy duties. fucking, you've probably seen this one, inmates.
I'd be very surprised if you hadn't.
Great show. Basically, your movie starts off with a dude in a bathtub waking up. Yeah. He pulls the plunger on the bathtub. You see something kind of floating around him there.
It's like one of them little LED lights.
Yeah, it's lit up and it goes down the drain. And then he gets up and he realizes that he's chained to a radiator, or some pipes.
Big old pipe.
Yeah, some piping in this dark, dank, funky ass bathroom. There's another dude chained to the piping on the other side of the room. And then there's a dead guy in the middle. Son of a bitch, this sucks. So the movie, in a nutshell, is these two clowns trying to figure out why they're chained up in this bathroom, how they got there, why they're there, and how the fuck they're going to get out. There's a lot of infighting, too, because one of them's kind of a pussy and the other guy's kind of a cocksucker. We start kind of ruffling around. We find these different items about the room. The first thing they find in each of their pockets is one of those mini cassette tapes that they used to use.
Yeah.
Now, the dead guy in the middle has a cassette recorder. The dead guy in the middle appears, for all intents and purposes, to have taken his own life. He's got a
gun.
What looks like a 357 revolver in one hand and the tape recorder in the other.
It's got blood pooling all around.
Yeah, all kinds of funky business going on there. Now, they both have tapes. They don't have the tape recorder. The two guys are Adam and Lawrence. Lawrence is a doctor. Adam is kind of a sleazeball photographer guy. Kind of private detective-esque, I'd say. They start talking. They figure out. They find the tapes. They need to get the recorder to listen to the tapes. So Adam kind of engineers this thing with the plunger from the bathtub in his shirt, and he hooks it from the dead guy, pulls it over, plays it. Basically, what you get on these tape recordings is these very cryptic messages. The one that Adam plays basically tells him that he's made a living off of other people's pain. He's a big piece of shit. If he wants to get out of there, he needs to... What did he need to do? I remember Lawrence was supposed to kill Adam.
By 6 o'clock.
Yeah, Adam, I think, was supposed to... I don't know if he was supposed to do anything, actually.
I don't think Jigsaw told Adam he could leave. Just
basically called just him a piece of shit.
You're a big piece of shit.
You get to stay here, you fucking asshole. You stay here
and you wait and see if Lawrence kills you.
Yeah, so there's that. Now they throw the tape over to Lawrence. Lawrence finds out that whoever has taken him has also taken his wife and daughter.
Yeah.
Lawrence is a doctor. Basically, what the tape tells him to do is that if he wants to walk out of there, he has to kill Adam. He also finds in his coat pocket one bullet for the gun that's being held by the dead guy in the middle of the room. From there, there's a lot of back and forth. Lawrence kind of figures out who might have taken him, and we get a little backstory here about somebody called the Jigsaw Killer, or who the media has dubbed the Jigsaw Killer. This guy's a bad motherfucker right here. What he does, he basically abducts people that are... just general pieces of shit for one reason or another. You had the drug addict bitch, Shawnee Smith. You had the other guy that was running the insurance scam, talking about how sick he was.
The dude who had to crawl through the wire?
No, that was the guy that tried to commit suicide. Remember he's like, a couple days ago, you drug a razor across my wrist. The insurance guy was the guy that was coated in napalm and had to figure out the combination to the
numbers
safe.
All over the room.
Yeah.
Good luck, dude.
Yeah, right? Fuck that. And he's got a candle that he's got to do. Oh. And he's walking on broken glass while he's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these, I like to fancy myself a tough guy, but most of these things is just, fuck, I'm done. I'm done, baby. Peace out.
Yeah.
So, basically we get this backstory of the Jigsaw Killer. What he does, he abducts people that are pieces of shit, and he basically kind of gives them a second chance at life, a chance to save themselves and, get a better appreciation for the life that they have and things like that. But in order for them to save themselves, they have to perform these horrific tasks, which should, for all intents and purposes, instill in them a better appreciation for the life that they have. Of all the people that he's abducted, really only one of them has survived, and that was Shawnee Smith, or Amanda, the drug addict. Basically, she was abducted, and she had what could basically be construed as a reverse bear trap grafted onto her skull. What it is there's two prongs that attach to your upper and lower jaw. Once the timer starts, you have a certain amount of time until the trap springs open, basically, giving you a flip top head, which is pretty gnarly. You don't want that. Her task was that she had to find the key to unlock the apparatus on her head so that she could get it off of her before the timer ran out. In order to find the key, there's presumably a dead guy laying across the room, and the key is somewhere in his stomach. So, she needs to bust out of this thing. Once she moves her head a certain
distance
from the chair.
Once she gets out of the chair, pretty much.
Yeah, or out of the chair. The
wire clicks and timer's on.
Timer's on. Now, it looked to me like she had 60 seconds. Is that what it looked like to you?
Yeah, that's what I thought at first.
Because I don't think I don't think I could do that in 1 minute.
It could have been 2 minutes.
Could have went
twice.
That's true. 2 minutes, maybe. But I'd be a shoveling, digging son of a bitch. And I don't know who
she starts hacking away at that tummy.
That's all you can do, man.
His eyes start opening.
Yeah.
How'd you like to be that guy?
Well,
you don't feel it.
Later on we found out that he was...
hopped up on opium or some shit.
Yeah, like some kind of an opiate overdose. So he couldn't move or speak or feel anything. He just had to lay there and let the...
see what was going on.
Surgery begin. Fuck that shit, man.
And then you see Shawnee Smith digging through the guts.
Yeah. Intestines and such. Anyway, she gets the key. She gets free. Now, the problem with this is that at that particular crime scene, they found a pen light of Dr. Lawrence Gordon, who is the doctor that's now chained up in the bathroom. So this is how Lawrence came to know all these facts, because he was actually questioned by two detectives in conjunction with these crimes. They thought he was the Jigsaw Killer. That's a son of a bitch, but at least he knows you know, what's going on. This Gordon, Lawrence Gordon, he's kind of a fucking shitbag himself. He's got a banging wife and what appears to be a lovely daughter. He's also banging some med students on the side. Or yeah. At least one, but she was hot too. She was like an Asian number.
It's probably safe to assume he's got others.
I wouldn't put it past him. If I was, I'd probably be throwing the dick to everybody in that fucking hospital. Anyway, we get some as this story is being told, we get some backstory into Lawrence. He, like I said, he's banging these med students.
Throwing the dick at him.
He's throwing the dick right at him. There's one for you, one for you, one for you.
Have a dick.
Hey, cheer up, will you? So that's a son of a bitch. But in this hospital where he's teaching, you know, these med school classes, there's a patient there that's dying of cancer. He's explaining it to him.
He's got a tumor in his frontal lobe. Yeah, some shit.
Inoperable. There's an orderly there by the name of Zepp. What nationality do you suppose Zepp came from? Is Zepp short for something? Zeppelin? Zeppfield?
Germany?
You are Zepp? I don't know.
Well, they had his real name.
It just Zepp.
I just didn't catch it.
Yeah.
No, they told us his real name.
Did they? The last name too?
So you commonly go by Zepp.
IMDb this guy right now.
Probably just under Zepp on IMDb.
Zepp something. Either way.
Orderly.
Whatever. He's an orderly, and he's like, you know, hey, that guy, his name's John. He's a fascinating character. And Lawrence is like, okay, Zepp, you really.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, you really you bond with your patient there. Good job there, clown. So we have that kind of glimpse into what this Zepp character. Now, as this story is being played out, the story of Adam and Lawrence in the bathroom, we get different snapshots of things that are going on outside of that. Mostly, they're being monitored via video camera by somebody else. Now, the guy that's monitoring them doesn't really match the voice on the cassette recorder. This guy's kind of happy, and he's like waving to the camera, oh, I see you. So that doesn't really play to the character that we're getting on the voice recorder. That's kind of funny. But then we get into this other backstory of these two detectives, and they're trying to catch the Jigsaw killer. They're the ones that actually questioned Lawrence when he was being considered as a suspect. Detective Tapp and Detective Singh. Detective Tapp, played by Danny Glover.
The one and only.
Sergeant Murtaugh. He doesn't fare too well in this movie. If he and Riggs were on the case, things may have gone. Yeah. It would have been a lot more cheeky and funny, but it probably would have went a lot better for them in the long run. It'd probably be some guy surfing on a motorcycle at some point. Maybe Joe Pesci involved. I don't know.
Joe Pesci. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, hold on to your sides.
There's gonna be some rib busting going on. Anyway, they're kind of involved in the case, and Detective Tapp is really, you know, he's really zeroing in on this, and he's really kind of putting everything else on hold. He's obsessed with this Jigsaw character, and how he's going to catch him. No leads. Really, the only clue they have to go on is this Jigsaw puzzle piece that is cut out of every victim. That's how the Jigsaw name was arrived at. He's poring over the evidence and the videotapes and the different cassette recordings that they've picked up at the crime scenes. He finally figures something out on one of the tapes of the doll, and it's a gang tag in the background. That kind of gives him an idea of where that gang's territory was and where that particular video may have been, you know, filmed.
K2K.
K2K. What do you suppose that stood for? Kings to killers, killers to kings,
killers to kings.
What shit?
So and then they enhance the audio there for a minute and notice and they hear that fire alarm going off. Remember that?
Yeah. So then they can kind of
the documents and they're like, oh, well, there was a fire alarm going off here
about this time frame.
Do you think we have enough for a search warrant?
We're going now.
Said anything about a search warrant?
Right now. We're going right now. Him and Detective Singh go hauling ass over there. They think they've got their guy. They get over there, and they actually do confront Jigsaw there for a minute. But they find this other dude there who is on the precipice of having drills drilled into his head. That's pretty nasty. They somewhat apprehend Jigsaw at that time. They get him to freeze, and they get him down on his knees. But the contraption that the hostage is in has already been activated. So
well, Jigsaw steps on it.
Yeah.
He steps on the little button over there.
So the drill bits are coming at this dude's head, and they're like, turn it off, turn it off. And he's like, you must make a choice, detectives. Gotta
find the key.
You must find the key. Is this man's life worth my apprehension? Detective Singh gets a pretty good idea. He shoots both the drill bits off, saving this guy's life. In doing so, he kind of creates a distraction that allows Jigsaw to like do this wrist blade thing and slit Detective Tapp's throat. He then goes hauling ass. Singh goes running after him with a shotgun. Springs a very gnarly trap on his way out of the warehouse. Oof. That is not something I'm interested in.
Oof.
Basically what he has is, what, 4 or 5 12 gauges lining the ceiling?
You can't see him from where he's coming from.
No, and Singh is just hauling ass after Jigsaw. He hits the tripwire just like a rain
Bloom.
Of fucking shotgun shells. Turns him into spaghetti on the spot. That's pretty gnarly, kids. You don't want meatballs. That. You don't want
no
the meatballs.
Just nope.
Detective Singh, bowl of spaghetti.
A pass on the Italian food for tonight.
Boom. I'm not talking lasagna. I'm not talking manicotti. Just spaghetti. The funny thing, though, is that Detective Tapp actually survives having his throat slit.
Yeah.
And he gets up and he kind of walks, you know, finds the dead body of Detective Singh and all that. Now we cut back to the story of the two guys that are chained up in the dank-ass bathroom.
Present day.
That's a motherfucker. Now they kind of know who took them and how and why. They're kind of like, they're trying to work together, but this Adam guy is just such a devious cocksucker that he's like, you know, withholding information and things like that. Basically, he finds a picture of Lawrence's wife and daughter chained up and gagged, and he doesn't show it to him.
Well, it was in Lawrence's wallet.
Yeah.
Lawrence tosses Adam his wallet and to look at his daughter's picture, and then he's like, and then Adam's like, is there a picture of your wife or something like that? And just behind that one, there's a picture of all of us. So Adam's digging, pulls out this Polaroid that's Allie? Is that the wife's name?
I believe so,
and
yeah.
Diana? Yeah. Like, handcuffed and gagged. And obviously Lawrence doesn't know it's in there.
Right.
So Adam, little devious sumbitch he is.
Sumbitch.
Pulls it out and throws the wallet back, says, it's not in there, man.
Yeah.
But on the back of this Polaroid's another little cryptic message.
Yeah.
Says it's better to see the X sometimes with your eyes closed or some shit like that.
In the dark, I think. Because remember, they have to turn the lights off.
I think it has something to do with your eyes. Your eyes closed or something like that.
It could be. It's just another clue as to what the fuck is going on.
So, yeah. So, I forget what happens from then until when Adam notices. Or Adam's reading it. Says, hey, why don't you turn off them lights?
Before that, though, when Lawrence first plays his recording, at the very end of it, they have like a weird little EVP there that says, follow your heart.
Oh, yeah.
And then on the shittiest fucking toilet in the history of shit toilets, there's a fucking, in Dookie, there's a little heart drawn on it. And then Adam has to go in and start fishing around on the toilet. I don't know if I could do it.
Which, by the way,
I don't know if I could do it.
I probably would have started with the tank.
Yeah.
I don't know why his first thought was to go into Dookie.
Let's just go ahead first. Let's get this out of the way. Basically, in the toilet, he finds two hacksaws, which could be good, except that the chains that they're chained up with are way too fucking thick for hacksaws.
Adam breaks his hacksaw.
Yeah, aren't really there for them to cut through the chains. They're there for them to cut through their fucking feet.
Yeah.
That's a son of a bitch. Also in that bag is a bunch of the pictures that Adam took of Lawrence while he was, you know, following him around and getting all this adulterous stuff.
Yeah.
Now we get into Adam's backstory. And basically, as I just stated, he's a cocksucker. And he basically takes pictures of people. You know, he's kind of a sleazy private detective type.
people pay him to trail people and yeah. take pictures of them doing illicit acts.
We just kind of get a snap. We find out that Adam was actually paid to follow Lawrence.
Yeah.
And he knows all about the sleazy affairs and the shitbag motels and all that stuff. We get a pretty cool little scene of Adam's abduction where he's in his apartment and the lights go out and he's got to do the thing where he's taking
the flash.
The flash is going off to, so he can figure out what's going on. And then he gets abducted by this dude in a robe with a pig head. Which is kind of weird. We find out.
I don't want that in my house.
We find out later in the franchise the significance of the pig head and all that stuff. No, you don't want it in your house. Probably smells bad. Why are you bringing a pig head into my house?
Say pig head out of the house.
you come back with like a goat head or something, all right? Something a little less stinky. So that sucks. Now things are starting to culminate. Now we cut back to Lawrence's wife and child, and we see them being abducted and chained up and things like that. We actually find out that Zepp, the orderly, is the one who did the abduction. That's a son of a bitch. Because, I mean, what the fuck is his problem, right? Is he just a sick bastard, or what's his deal? Who knows? He's got him chained up. He's, like, taunting him, and, you know. And then, but the cool part is that Detective Tapp, who may or may not still be a cop, is watching him from across the way. And he's still completely obsessed with this Jigsaw killer. He's pretty sure that Zepp is the Jigsaw killer, which, at this point in the film, is probably a fair assessment, I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is that Detective Tapp is on this, and he's, you know, watching this. The bad news is that he's kind of gone off the deep end a little bit, and he's, like, you know, staying up all weird, and he's got that thing that all obsessed detectives do, which is just plaster their walls
with articles.
Pictures and articles, and I need to see this every goddamn waking moment of my natural life.
I mean, how are you not going to go insane?
Yeah.
You start plastering your whole wall.
Your whole wall.
With newspaper articles and pictures of the killer.
I mean, you're already living in a shitbird hotel.
Chances are you're going to go insane if you do that.
That's it. You're off the deep end now, buddy. Can't help you.
But what the next step is drawing
the yarn thing that goes. I go all over
connect
here.
Connect the dots.
I go over there. I go over here and then there. You know, you have to be very careful with the yarn line, though, because if you got like point A is on this wall, but then point B is down the hall to your bathroom, you're gonna spiderweb your fucking house, dude. You know what I mean? Before you know it, you're like tiptoeing through. You don't want to mess up the yarn line. Yeah. So there's that. So, at this point, things are kind of coming to a head here. We have Detective Tapp watching the Zepp Lawrence Gordon family situation, and we have Lawrence and Adam who are on their way to making some kind of a thing here. At one point, Lawrence finds a cell phone. The cell phone rings. He answers it. It's his daughter basically screaming for help, and something very funny happens about this time. Lawrence goes off the deep end, but he does it in a very funny way where he's like crying. Basically, he reaches the decision that he's going to saw his own foot off. And I don't know if this was Cary Elwes trying to show that Lawrence is a pussy or if he's just mailing in the performance at this point. Because you have to see my family. That seemed kind of silly. I kind of got a little chuckle out of that. Just because he was acting like such a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, you're about to do something very horrific and saw off one of your own appendages. You know, I think there would be more screaming and less, I don't know, girly. I don't know what I'm trying to say. That's just me, though. Basically, he saws his own foot off, and he walks out of the shitty bathroom.
He gets the gun.
Yeah.
Puts the bullet in it.
Yeah.
Shoots Adam.
Does he shoot Adam? Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he? Adam's alive, though. Doesn't kill him.
No. But about this time, what's his name? Zepp comes on in.
Yeah. Well, Detective Tapp goes up to Zepp's Lawrence's apartment and attempts to say, or at least figure out what the hell's going on.
Because like Detective Tapp's like dozing off there,
yeah.
And he then that's when the Gordon wife gets free.
Yeah.
Zep comes back in to do some more torture and intimidation. Zepitude.
As I like to call it.
And
hey, I'm Zep.
Mrs. Gordon gets the gun. Shots get fired. Old Detective Tapp's like, oh, shit.
Showtime.
Shit going down.
I'm too old for this shit.
So Detective Tapp gets over there. Scuffle ensues. Zep gets out of the house. Tapp's hot on his trail.
He kills Detective Tapp, though, right?
Zep drives to the warehouse.
Right.
With Tapp following him.
Yeah.
And then Zep gets into the room, the bathroom where Lawrence and Adam were the whole time.
Yeah.
Tapp follows him there?
I believe so.
And that's where he gets killed?
Well, yeah. And then Lawrence is still on his way out. Adam is just kind of he's wounded and he's like, oh, fuck. And then we get the big reveal that the dead guy in the middle of the goddamn room wasn't dead.
He wasn't dead.
He's just taking a nap.
He's just chilling. Snoozing.
He gets up and he's like, you're a son of a bitch, Adam. And then he basically closes the door on him and leaves him there to rot.
Well, yeah, because Adam's about to shoot him.
Yeah.
And then the dead guy zaps him.
Yeah, well, basically...
You figure out he's been controlling the whole damn thing.
Yeah, what we find out is that Zep was being manipulated, much the same way that Lawrence and Adam were. Yeah. So he was made to do this, to do the abduction, and that was part of his game that he had to play. Lawrence and Adam were trapped in their own games, and basically the dead guy in the middle of the room was running the whole scene the whole time. That's a bad motherfucker right there, my friend. Jigsaw, Tobin Bell.
Yeah.
Boom. That's your movie, man. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. What do you think of Saw, Multiple Mics?
Well, you know, I got a good message out of this one.
What's that?
You value your life, damn it.
Dude, you have to, right? You can't be a fucking fuckface.
I'm not going to get trapped in no jigsaw puzzle. Dude,
don't be fucking off.
I am going to be very grateful I have a life.
And don't fuck it up, is basically
don't
it.
Fuck off.
Don't fuck off. Don't be banging hot Asian students. Don't
get divorced first.
Don't attempt suicide. Don't be an insurance scammer. I know you've been thinking about it. Don't do that shit either.
Pyramid schemes, baby.
Don't do the pyramid scheme either. No scheming.
Schemes.
Saw is a bad fucking movie. Independent film, shot relatively cheap.
Yeah.
Went on, of course, to inspire the 7-part franchise. Excellent show. Franchise got a little iffy there towards the end.
I remember going to the theaters for this first one. And just being blown away.
Yeah.
What the first one had for it was there was no hype around it.
No,
you know?
It was just totally independent. It was guerrilla.
You know, he had no idea what you're in for.
Came out of nowhere.
And I remember being very, 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 very in love with this movie.
Yeah.
The second one came out. I dug the second
one. I liked the second one a lot. A lot of people shit on the second one.
I dug the second one.
I think the second one's probably my favorite.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, yeah. 3 and 4
kind of petered.
I think they did peter.
Kind of petered off there.
They were just some peterage, some Peter Dinklage. The cool thing about 3, I mean, I think probably 4 was probably the weakest, but the cool thing about it is that you didn't see the ending coming because 3 and 4 happen in conjunction. They're happening simultaneously. Yeah. 5 wasn't bad. I honestly don't remember anything about 6. And 7 was pretty well crap, as I recall. I own them all. I think I've only seen 7 once. Anyway, good show. First one, anyway. Shawnee Smith is pretty hot, I think.
She is.
She gets hotter as when she gets out of the drug addict phase in the franchise. You see her in 3 and 4. She's actually pretty smoking.
She's
hot,
the one that gets tossed in the pit of needles, no?
Yes. That is probably, of all the traps, that one's probably the one that made me crawl the most.
That's too, yeah. Yeah, I didn't like seeing that.
No, dude. I mean, just looking down at him. And then the Hispanic guy picks her up and throws her in there. And she's like, ah! Ah! Yeah, fuck you. Dirty hypodermic needles.
I don't like it.
I've woken up in worse places. That's true. If you've ever been to Tijuana, you know what I'm talking about. From the start, Lawrence kind of seemed like he was in on it a little bit.
Yeah.
A little, I don't know. But he actually makes a return in Saw 7. So we get
without
that.
A foot?
Minus the foot. Awful lucky throw with that drain stopper. Yeah. EVP on the Jigsaw recording. Yeah, maybe. Don't know if I could reach into that toilet either. That toilet was funky.
Like I said, my first move would have been to tank.
My first move would have been find a stick and then maybe stir it around a little bit, see if I can't dig something. I'm not going anywhere near that
thing. Stir up some poop stew.
Some poop stew.
Dinner's on!
Razor wire room was pretty gnarly. That was pretty bad, too.
That was bad news.
What kind of name is Zepp? Shawnee Smith. Did Amanda only have 60 seconds? I don't know about that. This Adam is one whiny bitch. I don't know who Lawrence was banging on the side, but she... Well, later we find out it was the little Asian broad. She was pretty hot, too.
She was.
I don't know if she was as hot as Lawrence's wife, though.
No, but you're with somebody for goddamn 10 years, and your dick wants just, a little something just, else.
You want to throw it at somebody else.
You start throwing your dick around. Maybe that's what Zepp's problem was. He wasn't throwing
nobody,
his dick around.
Nobody was catching it.
Nobody was catching those Zepp's dick.
He threw it at everybody.
Dodging dick.
Why is there white stuff on Adam's face? Having to flash your way through a dark apartment sucks. I got a kill count of about six on this one. Pretty good show, man. I love Saw. I have a Saw tattoo, so there's that.
There you go.
Yeah, good show. What'd you think, man?
I loved it.
All right.
Like I said, this one had nothing came before it.
Right.
For it.
Right.
So, complete surprise. Yeah. I'm glad I caught it in theaters.
I didn't. I wish I did.
It's a good one.
I never saw any of them in theaters.
No?
No. They did. They used to have the big Halloween debuts for them.
Missed big Halloween shit. Movies.
All right, duders, let's take a break. We'll get back to you with some Terradome and other stuff, huh?
Yep.
And we're back. Before we get into the Terradome, it's that time of the week for the Padded Room Twitter follow of the week. I'm thinking either James Wan, Lee Winnell, or Tobin Bell. How say you, multiple mics?
Ooh. James Wan got one?
Let's take a look.
I'm trying to find it.
James Wan.
That's your boy right there.
At Creepy Puppet. Verified. James Wan, you are the Padded Room Podcast Twitter follow of the week. Ooh, he's got some behind-the-scene pics of The Conjuring.
Conjuring, is that getting a sequel?
Yeah, well, sort of. Like a spinoff more than anything else.
Right.
Oh, wow. Oh, I forget. Yeah, he did, what is that, Death Sentence? The one with Kevin Bacon?
Hmm.
He's got some Kevin Bacon picks. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at him. I don't know who these guys are. Is that Ludacris? Yeah, very cool. James Wan. All right, man. Let's get into some Terra Dome action.
All right.
Or as I like to call it, Upset City. Shit. What the fuck happened this week, man? First this week's winners. In singles action, we had Predator versus Pinhead. Oh, Jesus Christ. And the story continues. While the skull with the metallic protrusions wasn't all that remarkable from any other human trophy, the story and the scars that came with it most definitely were. The glory that this particular kill would bring the tribe was made of legend. With a score of fucking 10-6, Predator has advanced, upsetting Pinhead.
Oh, Crackhouse Matt!
Crackhouse Matt, you are eliminated from singles competition.
Goodbye.
Multiple mics, I understand you have some teams action?
Yes. Last we left off there, old Puppet Master had just been disemboweled by Leatherface. And the Hewitts were sitting down to a nice Puppet Master stew, if you will. Well, if you remember correctly, there was a trunk in the car that was left unlocked, and the little Puppet Master dolls got out as the Hewitts are dining over their feast. The Puppet Master dolls systematically kill each and every one of the Hewitts with a score of, what was it?
Oh,
it was a runaway, wasn't it? Yeah,
12-4.
Yeah, Puppet Master Dolls!
Advance over the Hewitt family.
Yep.
Now this week's matches. Let's start us off in singles. As usual, bear with me, I'm not a writer. The room was dank, dark, and quiet. It smelled of anxiety, cold sweat, and desperation. Noah woke to find himself incapacitated in the center of it, restrained to some kind of chair with a peculiar and heavy apparatus affixed to his head. A television clicks on 6 feet in front of him. A doll on a tricycle wheels into frame and starts talking. It explains that it knows Noah's dark secret, and it knows about the tape and all the damage it can cause, and all the lives Noah has taken due to its distribution. It also explains that the device affixed to Noah's head has 6-gauge drill bits poised to penetrate his temples on either side in a matter of seconds. The key to Noah's survival will come after the doll's message is finished. The tape will continue to show the tragedy of the little girl in the well. As per usual, a phone in the room will ring, and upon its completion will answer automatically after the second ring set to speakerphone. If Noah can meet his fate head-on and brave the cursed tape, he will be set free. Should he turn his head or close his eyes, the device will begin boring into his skull on both sides. What the doll on the video didn't explain was that the trap wasn't meant for Noah. It was meant for the Samara, the girl in the well. By Jigsaw's calculations, capturing and threatening the distributor of the tape and the mythos that came with it would force Samara to act and forgo the 7-day waiting period that came with the curse. By his calculation, neither Noah, Samara, or the videotape would be leaving that warehouse again. In singles competition, we have Jigsaw versus Samara. Multiple mics, what do you think?
I don't know, man. That's tough.
That is a tough one.
That's a toughie.
Now here's,
you can't just go around throwing your dick at it.
You can't throw your dick. You can't throw your dick at this one. You gotta
put some thought into this one.
Normally I go supernatural over just fucked up human any day of the week. Here's the problem. Jigsaw, as we found out later in the franchise, is a Nobel Prize winning engineer. He covers every conceivable variable in these equations. If he's going after Samara, I have to expect that he's got his bases covered. For that reason, I am taking Jigsaw in this matter.
Ooh,
I could see taking Samara.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the cursed girl there.
Samara?
I'm going Samara.
The vote stands at one for Jigsaw, one for Samara in singles competition. Let's kick it over to the team side.
Nobody has them as their horses, huh?
No.
Nope. Who do we have for teams anyway?
No, this one.
Lay it on me.
This one's going to get a little silly.
All right.
Good. Bear with me.
I'm going to throw my dick at it.
Just throw it. Fire a dick right center mass. Juan Pablo and Fernando had gotten themselves in a real shit sandwich this time. They'd been traveling for hours. Will you fucking grow up?
Come on!
Fucking grow
you
up, will you?
Shit sandwich at me. Expect me to keep it cool.
All right, take it from the top.
Take two.
Juan Pablo and Fernando had gotten themselves in a real shit sandwich this time. They'd been traveling for hours, attempting to smuggle the shipment of maguey across the Portuguese border, and now the sun was setting, and the Spanish customs agents were right on their asses. With little hope of crossing the border under cover of dark, they are forced to take refuge in the ruins of the Castillo de San Marcos, a cursed place left to rot centuries ago by massacred Knights Templars. If Juan Pablo and his band of smugglers knew anything about history or local lore, they would have kept moving. The night that they picked to go camping just so happened to fall on the centennial anniversary of the massacre. If they knew anything about the massacre, they would have not played their stereos so loud. They would have not bought booze and drugs to turn the evening into a party. They would have known that the Knights Templar that were executed there had their eyes cut out and had to operate on sound alone. They also might have known that it was the night they would come out of the grave in search of vengeance. If they knew anything about the maguey, they wouldn't have tried to feed them so late at night. They wouldn't have tried to clean them up in the nearby river, and as soon as the changes started in the maguey, they would have left them there and run as far as they could in the opposite direction. In team's action, we have the blind dead versus gremlins. Dude, fuck the gremlins. I'm taking the blind dead on this one. Gremlins aren't really there to hurt anybody. They're there to do cheeky property damage and fuck up your date with your girlfriend.
Pretty much.
And fire the occasional grandma through the window.
Otherwise known as shenanigans.
It's just shenanigans. Dude.
Gremlin shenanigans.
Just shenanigans. Just
mark me down for the blind dead.
Thank you. That's two for the blind dead over the gremlins. Inmates, get us your votes by next week. You can do that on the mental health hotline at 206-309-9117 or on the regular email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. You can also tweet us your votes. Follow us at Padded Room Pod on Twitter, and that's how you can do that.
Or just go ahead and throw your dick at us.
Or just fucking throw some dick. get like a dick launcher and just a dick catapult that will fire it over my backyard into my house. I should never have said that in front of you, obviously.
Great.
Clearly that was too much for you.
That's enough funny business.
The throwing of the dick was too much for you to handle, my friend. All right, you assholes. Let's get into some immersion therapy. Oh. I think me, GP, and Kreese were the only ones to tune into this one, and it's a good thing.
Immersion therapy.
Yeah, Barricade from 2012. Not a good show. Not very good at all. It became... Okay. When you have wild inconsistencies, like in the time frame of the film... And then halfway through, you put an empty bottle of pills just laying on the floor. Okay, now I know exactly what's going on. Somebody's off their meds or taking too many meds, and now they're all fucked up and they're doing stupid things. And that's pretty much exactly what happened here. So, sorry about that. Figured that one out. It doesn't sound like GP or Kreese liked it either. So, GP gave it way too much credit when he said it had elements of The Shining and Evil
what
Dead.
The hell?
Not GP, no.
Come on.
You're not really, you're thinking too much into this. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be The Returned from 2013, starring Emily Hampshire, Chris Holden Reed, directed by Manuel Carballo. Something about a future zombie apocalypse where the zombies can actually be turned back into normal humans with a correct application of pharmaceuticals. Sounds interesting, if nothing else. So check that out if you have time, and let us know what you think of that. We'll do the same. How about a little what are you looking at in the meantime?
What are you looking at?
Multiple mics, what'd you watch this week, my man?
Well, I could have swore there was multiple things, but I can only think of the one. I've been sitting on this movie for a long time.
Yeah? Did you throw your dick at it?
I decided to just throw my dick at it. Nothing else was working. No, this movie's called Dorothy Mills. And if you're not familiar with it, on the cover it has a contemporary... like something to The Exorcist.
Okay.
Like modern age. It's based over in Ireland.
Okay.
This little girl is possessed by three or four other beings.
What, round about what time was this made? Fairly modern or 60s?
It was probably made recently.
Okay.
But it takes place like decades ago, I want to say.
Okay.
And anyway, this little girl's possessed, or her human form is being, you know, harbored. She's harboring like four other spirits who had died in the past.
2008.
Dorothy Mills, you got it there?
Yep.
Yeah. So she's being like, this Dorothy Mills is being used to convey these dead people's thoughts, and she's basically being possessed by four other beings.
Okay.
And, you know, the movie's about this psychiatrist who comes to this little town, tries to help her out, tries to figure out what's going on, uncovers a bunch of shit, and...
You know, I always wondered about that. People with split personality disorder. I understand the psychology of it, but, like, it's funny because their other personalities always seem to have these very involved backstories.
Right.
And these aren't real people. They're supposed to be just the inventions of whatever fractured psychosis there is.
Right.
But some of these fucking backstories are like very involved. You know what I mean? That's just curious to me.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating at times.
Yeah.
You can read too much into it at times. But no, so she, the psychiatrist comes to town, tries to help Dorothy Mills, and uncovers all this other shit. This little town is very tight knit. They got their secrets.
This is in Ireland?
Yeah, I want to say Ireland. At least they all talk Irish.
Okay.
But anyway, very tight knit community.
Right.
Got their secrets to hide.
Okay.
And as the movie progresses, the story unfolds, and you find out their secrets and.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say buy it.
But give it like a red box, maybe?
Give it a red box. Give it a watch.
I could see that.
If you like a modern, maybe, exorcist kind tale.
So now, is there an actual exorcism involved in this or no?
No, but Dorothy Mills, when she starts talking in these other forms, these other beings inside her,
right.
she gets the smart lips going.
Smart lips, huh?
She gets the mouth on her.
Oh, boy. So, it takes more of a supernatural turn, yeah?
Well, yeah.
Or psychological
more
or supernatural?
More psychological. It's a good mix of both.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a good mix there. But I wasn't mad at it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Very cool. That all you got?
Yeah.
I watched a few things. Mr. Jones from 2013. Oh. You forgot about that, didn't you?
I did. I was with you for that one.
Not a bad show.
What?
kind of,
it started off okay.
Conceptually, it was solid, I think. The
idea, yeah.
The concept is that there's this very estranged artist that makes these scarecrow-esque statues, and he just builds them, and then he sends them to random people. And because these things are so, I don't know, kick-ass looking. Yeah, they're like, they're worth millions now.
Yeah.
But he only did it once, and then this young couple is homesteading, I guess, in the desert, and they happen upon this dude, and then shit gets kind of wonky from there, right?
Well, yeah.
With all the weird timeline jumps and all that crazy horse shit, and then it takes a very psychedelic turn with weird strobe light effects and what the... He's supposed to be over there, but then we find out he may be taking over as the next... who gives a crap? Check it out if you want. I don't know. The concept was solid.
You could miss it.
You could. You could probably skip that one. Amityville 3D from 1983.
Ooh.
You may know this as the big screen debut of Meg Ryan.
Really?
Yeah. She's in it. She's like 16 years old. Now, the problem I have with this is 1983 film directing in 3D, you get all those crazy, wonky angles, like, what's going on over there? And then it's like, would you like a bite of steak? And, hey, cheers, multiple mics. You know what I mean? Just a lot of weird, like...
Was that back in the red and green?
Red and blue. Yeah, that stuff.
Glasses.
I caught it on cable, so it didn't have all that craziness. It's like, remember when we watched Friday the 13th Part 3?
Jason in 3D, yeah.
Yeah, and it like sent us into this weird psychedelic blur. Like, is it 3D? I don't know, but the room is spinning.
I don't know, my head's fucking hurting.
Dude, I mean, it's just kind of wonky, and plus it's not a very good movie to begin with. Really, after that first Amityville movie, the whole franchise just took a complete crap.
They were stretching it.
Lastly, Animus from 2013. Watched that this morning while I was trying to get the baby to go to sleep. College kids doing a film project, trying to get some paranormal stuff, run into like this crazy mental patient killer. Nothing too extraordinary there. No. Not bad, but not all that great either. Yeah. That's all I'm looking at, dude. Let's get into some Company of Wolves, shall we?
Company of Wolves.
How about this? I have a superhuman baby.
You know.
He came out. Yeah, the nurses are like, this dude is strong. Is way too strong to be a baby, is basically it. And he has a tattoo. I don't know how that happened or how that worked out. And he's also African-American, so I guess I need to have a conversation with my wife about a few things. No, I mean, the baby came out, and the nurses are like, this kid is way too, he's like, he's strong, he's a lot stronger than he should be, especially being a preemie.
Able to hold his head up and all that?
Yeah, on his own. And then I guess my wife and my mother-in-law gave him a bath today, and he's in there doing push-ups and stuff. This kid's going to be a killer. Got a few runs in this week. I think I averaged about 10 miles. Dude, it's friggin' hot out there. What are we up to, 90s?
It's scorching. Yeah, all week it's mid-90s, but then it's going to get in the triples again over the weekend.
Yeah, dude.
Or starting tomorrow.
Yeah, so make sure you...
Triples.
I'm sure wherever you people are, it's about the same, if not worse. I know we got people in Arizona. So make sure you're drinking water, werewolves. Don't want to hurt
yourself.
Stay
hydrated.
And you're going to need to stretch a little bit more, too, because the heat has that effect on your muscles. What about you? You doing some hiking still or what?
No, I missed the hike this week.
It's probably a good idea.
My school started.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So I've been barreling down on books there.
Good call.
So, yeah, I might try to go for a run tonight, if not after class tomorrow.
Wait till about, like, you know, if you can do it like 8, 9 after the sun mostly goes down.
Yeah.
That's probably the best time. Because right now, dude, what is it right now?
What are we looking at, like 4:30 now?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's not. It's
as of right now, in the northern Nevada area, it's 99 fucking degrees. Yeah. See?
Yep.
See what I'm saying?
You might as well just be 100.
Might as well.
I mean, why are you flirting with us?
Come on. What are you doing? I think that's about going to be an episode, inmates. Mike, you got anything else for the lunatics out there?
I did not. I'm looking at a daddy, folks.
It's true. It's true. It's
daddy.
It's the truth. I can't deny it. I put the pictures up. For the Padded Room Podcast, my name is Darian and multiple mics. I'm afraid visiting hours are over. Time.